You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It's 7:06 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network in Eau Claire, listening on 93.5 The Tap. You might be in Madison this morning, listening on WMDX, or in the Oshkosh-Appleton area on WISS. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Jamie Martinson.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to everybody. I'm Brian Noonan. One of my big beefs, and I have a long list of pet peeves and beefs, as you're learning as we go on. But it's the phrase, my truth. I have my truth and your truth. When in reality, there is only one truth. It's like 2 + 2 always equals 4. I don't care what your truth tells you. I feel that 2 + 2 = 6. Well, then you feel wrong. I'm sorry. That's the way it goes. And that's what's happening all the time with this administration. There is their truth, and then there is what you and I are feeling. And part of that came to a head again yesterday. The president, as you know, has told people to stop talking about affordability because inflation is over. I've been to the grocery store in the past few days, Jamie. I've put gas in my car. I want to know where this gas under $1 a gallon is that we keep hearing about. I have not found it, and trust me, I'm looking, and I buy things at the grocery store just like everybody else that 6 months ago didn't cost this much.
Yeah.
A year ago really didn't cost this much. And we all know prices go up a little bit. But for, again, the president to say that everything is fine, don't worry about it. Well, then the Fed chair came out and things got crazy. So it is time for another Civic Media Mornings fact check on Trumpy.
You know, I do love my good fact checks. Frank, our senior producer, we need a big intro for these moments. So write that down, please.
Fact check.
So Trump was in Iowa earlier this week, and he did a Fox News interview where he basically said inflation is solved, it's done. As you stated, he said prices are coming way down. You know, he cited the prices of eggs because, my goodness, we've been talking about the price of eggs for over a year now, and I'm just kind of over it.
And you know what? Unless you go to Aldi, they're still pretty expensive.
You're right. They really, truly are. You know, and he also said that affordability is basically the issue of just for Democrats. And he claimed that he has defeated inflation and then, of course, went back speaking to a crowd in Iowa and blamed former President Biden for previous price hikes. This is cut number 2, please, Dom.
After 1 year of President Trump, our economy is booming, incomes are rising, investment is soaring, inflation has been defeated, our border is closed, totally closed.
He's done all of that in a very short amount of time, according to him. Okay?
Okay.
Stick with me here. Stick with me. We're gonna bring the facts, I promise.
This is an issue where we all know the facts.
Yeah.
We know what's happening. Yeah. I would love to hear from all these Republicans who don't have to worry about prices. So if you're one of those very rich Republicans who doesn't worry about affordability, 855-752-4842, that's 855-75-CIVIC. If you want to rub the nose of all the Democrats who are like, boy, it got really expensive to buy hamburger meat.
Right,
Come and laugh at us. That would be fine.
We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But you mentioned Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell. He addressed the nation yesterday. He wasn't completely doom and gloom, but he was more measured in his response when addressing inflation, jobs. So this is cut 3.
While job gains have remained low, the unemployment rate has shown some signs of stabilization, and inflation remains somewhat elevated. In support of our goals, today the Federal Open Market Committee decided to leave our policy rate unchanged. Having lowered our policy rate by 75 basis points over the course of our previous 3 meetings, we see the current stance of monetary policy as appropriate to promote progress toward both our maximum employment and 2% inflation goals.
So again, you can hear from that, a little bit more measured, not quite proclaiming that inflation is done and solved and that it's all gone. But again, it was maybe a little bit more optimistic than what we thought it was going to based on what we're paying when we go to the store. But the data tells a little bit more of a complex story. So this is what we're going to get into, okay? Inflation, contrary to what our president says, still ongoing, Brian. It's still ongoing, okay? Yeah. Overall consumer prices in December of 2025 were up about 0.3% from the previous month and 2.7% compared to December of 2024. Since January of 2025, though, prices have risen about 2.2% after adjusting for the seasonal changes. Obviously, we're talking holidays. So while some items have become cheaper, overall costs are still higher than they were a year ago, which is that pinch you're feeling when you go to the grocery store. Speaking of which, we're going to get into this more specifically. Grocery prices have generally increased. December 2025 saw the largest month-to-month jump in food prices in over about 3 years. You mentioned it, the beef. This is a problem. Beef and coffee are notable examples of increased prices. Ground beef prices rose just about 16% over the past year, beef steaks nearly 18%, and coffee jumped about 20%. Eggs, potatoes, and tomatoes have seen price drops. Most grocery items are more expensive than when Trump took office a year ago.
Yes.
Gas prices in Iowa are higher than reported. Trump cited $1.95 per gallon, but statewide averages were closer to $2.50. There was actually somebody in the audience, if you got to watch the speech, who corrected him in the middle of his...
Yes, who yelled it out, which is good.
Good for you.
I'm glad. Listen, reporters won't do it. So we do it by pointing out the facts.
Right.
But yeah, it's good for people to yell that out and maybe just ask him directions to that gas station.
Right, exactly.
Is Jerome Powell still under investigation? Is that why he was so?
I think so.
That's what I thought. But again, in the timeline of the Trump administration, you never know.
That was only 2 weeks ago, by the way, that we found out that he was under investigation. Right. No, when it comes to the gas stations in Iowa, only a tiny fraction of them sold gas near $1.95. Big surprise. Even at his event, as we mentioned, that audience member pointed out that it was $2.63.
Yeah.
Okay. So then the question becomes, why are the prices rising? Economic analysts point to a mix of different things. Supply shortages from droughts, weather, particularly affecting cattle and coffee, hence the 20% increase. Strong consumer demand for beef, coffee, and other goods. Tariffs on materials like steel
and
aluminum.
Jamie.
I knew this is where we were going to stop.
Stop it. I'm going to fact check you, Jamie, because I have heard that tariffs are good for us.
Well,
that we, the American consumer, do not pay higher taxes. Other countries pay the tariffs.
That is not.
We are the beneficiaries of all this extra money that's coming in, and that's why we can give fetuses $1,000.
Well, it turns out that that is not true. It turns out that the American consumer and the American companies actually do not benefit to that degree from the tariffs.
Why would somebody tell us different then?
Well, because they want us to believe an alternative world.
All right.
I don't know why they would tell us that. That is not actually how it works. At any rate.
Fact.
Democrats are thank you. That was great. Now, Democrats are continuing to focus on cost of living issues, and there are a few different examples. Virginia's Governor Abigail Spanberger, she just took office, almost immediately signed executive orders aimed at making life more affordable. I have not seen all of the ins and outs of that particular executive order. New Jersey's Governor Mikey Sherrill highlighted an affordability crisis and took immediate action, and even Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer proposed policies to address housing, groceries, energy, and other living costs. So to sum all of this up, because I know that's a lot of information in the morning, right?
The it's only early. Class that I dropped in college was economics. Yeah. I have the numbers the numbers are all, to me, the big picture of economics is confusing. What
right.
I understand, and I think what most of us understand, is what we're actually
yeah.
paying out, what we
yeah.
see in real life. And we listen every month when the jobs reports comes out. But if we're still unemployed, that job report means nothing to us
right.
if we can't find a job. If I can't afford to get food or gross or anything at the store,
right.
telling me that it's a Democratic hoax and affordability is not a real thing doesn't ring true.
Yeah.
It's good. I value all this information. I think we all need to hear
right.
this information. But at some point, everybody goes, all right, I understand that enough to know
right.
I'm still getting screwed.
I mean, here's the thing. Inflation hasn't disappeared, which is why we have to lay it out in this way, because if we're going to continually hear that the economy is booming and inflation is gone, you have to understand why it's not gone. There are several factors
right.
into this. And,
oh, sure.
And again, you're right. Americans are facing affordability challenges. There are several reasons why that is happening, and affordability is a major concern. It hasn't just inflation has not just disappeared. What we're trying to tell you this morning is that when you go to the store and you think that your grocery bill for the same things you bought a year ago is coming out higher, it is. And
it
don't
is.
Don't be deceived because you've been told that inflation has completely disappeared.
And
don't be deceived.
Don't believe that you are the beneficiary of tariffs. You are not. I am not. You know who's the beneficiary of these tariffs and who doesn't worry about affordability? All the people that Donald Trump's administration is trying to protect. The Jeff Bezoses
yep.
of the world, the Elon Trumps of the world, all the huge
yes.
money donors. That's who doesn't worry about affordability, but they never did.
No.
You and I did.
Yep.
Your parents did. Everybody who works for a living at different levels worries about affordability. Maybe you're at a level where you worry about, okay, do I buy a new car or do I lease a car?
Mm-hmm.
Can I afford this mortgage? Well, we've been saving up for a boat. Can I now get my boat? Maybe you're at the level where you're like, I don't know if I can afford my heat.
Right.
So everybody worries about affordability.
They do. And again, don't let the comments of this particular administration sway you from what your pocketbook might be feeling,
yeah.
what your eyes are seeing, and what you understand is happening around you, because you are feeling the pinch of all of
mm-hmm.
it. Perhaps, maybe not, we don't want to generalize, but you are probably and might be at some point feeling the pinch of all of it, and you should not be deceived by being told that it's done, it's solved, I've taken
sure.
care of it, because it's still an ongoing problem in
yeah.
this country.
You're not as dumb and we're not as dumb as they want us, as they think we are or hope we are.
Right.
And that's the bottom line. You
right.
know what it costs to do things.
Exactly.
That's,
you're trying to pay for your life. They aren't.
Listen, my Harry Styles tickets are $1,000.
I know.
Boy, if I was the kind of guy who'd drop $1,000 on a concert ticket, I would punch myself in the face. Present company excluded.
Everything is expensive. Everything's expensive. And that's the unfortunate part. And in this country, as we've talked before, we also live in a world where several states have not adjusted the wages to accommodate for the price and continue to also tell me that it's okay to live on $8.25 an hour for minimum wage when we just ran through the facts of how expensive things actually are. It's not lining up. Believe what you are feeling and know. It's 7:19 right now. You are listening to Civic Media Mornings. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Right now, you're listening to Civic Media Mornings. A chilly start to this. Are we on, is it Thursday? Are we on Thursday?
It is Thursday.
Okay. lost it is track Thursday. Of my days this
I don't
week.
Know what year. I don't know what month. I know it is Thursday.
We've warped back in time with election fraud in Atlanta.
Alleged.
We alleged election fraud. Well, yes, there's that. We've warped into time that things that were only a couple weeks ago seem like they were 6 months ago.
That's the worst one.
Yeah.
You go, wait, that was only a week ago?
Right.
Or that was 2 weeks ago? Jerome Powell being investigated seems like it happened like before Christmas.
Right.
Wait, no, that's because so much has happened in the interim that we are working on, and by we, I mean, I'm just on the outside.
Innocent bystander.
You know, I'm helping because Jamie is working on a timeline. We've got a big thing that we're working on because we need to put all this in perspective.
Yes.
So keep listening to the program because it'll be, oh man, it'll be some sort of award winning
cinematic masterpiece, radiomatic masterpiece or something, whatever we want it today.
It's going to be fantastic. Almost like Tom Homan's reign in Minneapolis is going to be. Tom Homan, the border czar, the self-proclaimed, but the White House proclaimed him the border czar.
How do you get a title like that? I'm sorry to interrupt. How do you get a title like that? It feels like something
they stole
made
the
up.
Drug czar title. What do we had a drug czar? Now we have a border czar.
I feel like it's made up.
A Charizard.
Like they were all sitting in the room and they were like, what's the most powerful thing that we can name these people? And then the word czar came up.
Yes. You know why? Because it's from Russian history.
Yes,
that's
it is.
Why we.
It is.
That's
it is.
Why we bring that.
It is, in fact.
You know, we didn't have the border emperor. We went with the czar, the commissar.
I didn't mean to digress us, by the way.
No, you didn't. Listen, why not? Listen. For my sanity, and I think for the listener's sanity sometimes, we need to digress, even if just for a few seconds, to take a breath, regroup, and go, hey, look, there's more news that is just going to drive us insane.
Yes.
Well, we know Greg Bovino, gone.
Mm-hmm.
See you, Greg. Thanks for your service. And I say that with tongue firmly in cheek. You and your coat, skedaddle. So Tom Homan comes up. Now, Tom Homan, of course, you remember as the face of the border immigration crackdowns with the cages and the kids in the cages. You remember Tom Homan coming on. And Tom Homan is not, before you get all excited and say, oh, good, Greg Bovino, he was a piece of garbage. We've got Tom Homan now. He's the avenging angel. He's going to come in and take care of business. No, pump your brakes. Tom Homan is as much of a hardliner as Bovino. He just takes a little bit different tact to do it. But he is there now, and he met with Governor Walz and Mayor Fry, and he had some meetings, and he wanted to make sure that he went into those meetings with demands. Jamie, are you surprised that there were demands from Tom Homan?
No, and I'm actually monitoring a press conference that he is giving live right now in Minneapolis.
You're doing this show?
Yeah, I am. I'm watching. Okay. I'm reading. I'm listening. I'm multitasking and all at once.
I'm laser focused on the program, folks. So you know. I'm here for you.
I know where 100%. We're at. I know where we're at. So he did have a list of things that he wanted to accomplish, we'll say, right? Some his demand list. The first thing is he wants an agreement on Minnesota's Democratic leaders to turn over more immigrants from the state's prisons and jails. And he also wants to secure what the administration can count as concessions from the state's Democrats, several of whom have been subpoenaed by the Justice Department. He actually met with Governor Walz and Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Fry earlier this week. And they have obviously been sparring back and forth with President Trump and Greg Bovino. There's no immediate indications from those meetings, though, that both sides in this standoff have agreed to join up in support of the White House's immigration agenda. And let's be clear, based on the comments I'm reading here this morning, you can be sure we'll probably talk about a little bit of that tomorrow morning on the program. Based on what I'm, you know, we're talking about here, what I'm reading this morning on our closed captioning, they're far, far apart on what these agreements are going to be. Let's be real.
Similar in tone to Ukraine, if I can make that comparison,
mm-hmm.
because even though Russia and our administration is saying, oh, we want Zelensky and Ukraine to work this, Ukraine has made it very clear. No, we're not giving in to Russia's demands.
Right.
Tim Walz and Mayor Fry have made it very clear. This will de-escalate when you pull back ICE from our town. And that's going to be that. That's all that's going to happen. And there's nothing that says, if the administration was smart, that they couldn't pull everybody back, not stop immigration enforcement, but pull it back, let things simmer down, have these meetings between Homan and the locals, and figure out the next step. And
right.
then you can go back in with a reduced force that's not a military secret police and take care of business.
I mean, and that also goes back to the Democrats' overall demands at the federal level, where we're
yes.
watching this funding fight take place because of the demands they have on these ICE agents, where it's essentially demasking, body cam footage, all of these different things they want written in. And, you know, Walz called it, Homan said it was a good, productive starting point. Wall says that the meeting was literally to reiterate Minnesota's priorities.
Yes.
And this is going to be an ongoing discussion. There's no signed deal. There's
no.
going to be challenges.
Is there a concept of a deal?
Well, no, I don't even think there's a concept
right.
of a deal at
Just
this
checking.
Point. I believe that these conversations are still going. And Jacob Frey, who has been so vocal, he basically stressed that Minneapolis is not going to enforce the federal immigration laws that they are putting forth in front of them in this meeting with Homan. So, yeah, you can say a lot of things, but they're not going anywhere.
Yeah, not very productive.
It's 7:29 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. I'm Jamie Martinson.
Yes, you are. And I'm Brian Noonan. And when we come back, the Wisconsin Assembly GOP, it might match Trump's Trump account for your children. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's 7:35 right now. Thank you for listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. This is Civic Media Mornings. If you want to get in on the conversation today, 1-855-752-4842. That's 1-855-75-CIVIC. Good morning. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Good morning. Glad you're with us. You may have heard of the Trump account. There's a lot of, and I'm not talking about the stakes or the credit card or any of those things. There's and the Bitcoin and what else? The Bible and all the merch. No. This is the Trump account where for every newborn, this sounds very very much like the Republic of China. For every newborn that you bring to the dear leader, they will give you $1,000. Now that goes into the bank, and it is supposedly to, quote, help your children grow alongside the American economy. Unless the economy tanks, and then your children are, you know, turned into food.
Well, it's all stock market based too. So
yes, stock market based. It provides financial flexibility in adulthood. It's supposed to fund higher education without debt. Good luck. Helps with home ownership. Again, good luck. And it provides money for entrepreneurial venues. I'll give you a good luck as well. But now you listen. Okay, $1,000, whatever. The Wisconsin Republicans have decided they want to get in on this act, Jamie. They need to.
Yes.
We want to make children's lives easier in the future. Forget the children now. Forget
yes.
the. Forget all the children who need a couple bucks today.
Any baby born between January 1st of 2025 and the end of 2028 will be eligible for this special account, I guess.
Oh, so if your baby was born on New Year's Eve, you're SOL.
Yep.
That's not good.
You sure are. But yes, you're right. Wisconsin Republicans want to match the federal contribution with an additional $1,000 from the state for every child born here. So parents would actually need to opt in to receive these funds and could mm-hmm. also contribute up to $5,000 a year from family or friends. The money then would be locked until the child turns 18 years old. So obviously, Democrats and Republicans have different views on how this is going to work or what this will look like. Big shock, right?
Yes.
Assembly Representative Elijah Bankey says that the accounts are about giving children a head start in life, pointing out that even modest savings early on can grow significantly and that having the funds could make a real difference for Wisconsin families down the road. He also envisions these accounts helping with, as you mentioned, same thing as the federal account, maybe college, first homes, future businesses, and really just setting kids up for a with a financial foundation, as he calls it, from day one. Now, the big question for anybody listening, where in the hell are we going to get this money, right? That's always
Jamie,
the one.
I thought about asking that question, and then I thought, it doesn't matter. I'm sure that $1,000 for the federal money is, we got it, or we'll borrow it.
Sure.
We know Wisconsin's working with a surplus of money.
Yes. But
we just learned the other day when we talked about this, the Republicans don't want to spend it.
Right.
Okay. So
sure.
You're right. I thought to myself, Brian asked the question, where does this money come from?
Oh, you don't want
to
ask the question.
I thought to myself, Brian, don't ask the question, because it's just going to make you angry.
You don't want to ask the question, because the question, you already answered it. The funding for this problem, for this program, would come from the budget surplus, projected to reach over $2 billion by mid-2027. So Representative Bankey estimates the state would need about $60 million annually to cover roughly 60,000 newborns each year. Or not, because we also learned that the birth rate in the state is also falling rapidly. So
maybe that's why they're backing it, because they know nobody's having kids. Why? Because we can't afford anything.
Right.
And so people aren't having kids. So all the arch-conservatives who would say, well, if you can't afford a kid, don't have it, when you talk about school lunch or anything else to help children. Well, there's only a few babies being born, so we'll give them a little money. But we also don't want to get, listen, Governor Evers, we don't want to get into any sort of long-term commitment
just
on this surplus money. We want to keep it, because there might be something unfortunate that comes up down the road. So again, it's like the gun laws.
Right.
Where are we today? Do we want to spend the money in the surplus? Do we want to keep saving the money? Do we care about children? Well, we only care about children in the future when they're adults.
Yeah.
We don't care about children when they're children. So I get my head is spinning.
We also only want to win elections. And when people hear that they're going to get an extra $1,000, people tend to be a little bit more open to hearing what you're throwing out there. John from Oshkosh, listening on WISS, texting in this morning, says, sure sounds like socialism or another Trump scam. John, thank you for the input this morning.
John, throwing around the S word like nobody's business. Despite all evidence to the contrary, I don't want to believe the American public is this stupid. And yet, every day, people are still counting on their Doge money. They're still counting on all their tariff money. They're still counting on, stop.
Yeah.
There's no free money.
Now, this one's a little interesting, because Democrats obviously urging some caution here, noting that the federal program isn't even active yet. And they're calling it a flashy proposal aimed at headlines, and points out that Wisconsin must balance its budget carefully. Now, Wisconsin, here's the other thing about this program. Wisconsin already has this well-established 529 program called EdVest.
Yes.
There's over 400,000 accounts and nearly $9 billion in assets attached to EdVest. The Trump accounts proposal would be separate, but could complement these programs, which would encourage families to save even more for their children's future, according to GOP, Wisconsin GOPers. Now, Bankey says that he's confident the accounts could be life-changing. And he says that even small, regular contributions from parents, like, you know, skipping out on a meal or their small luxuries, could over
like
time...
Like Dine and Dash? Is that what he meant?
skipping out on a meal? I guess. Could over time grow into a significant nest egg. Democrats are supportive of early savings programs, but they're cautioning that any sort of state match at this point would be must be fiscally responsible and sustainable over the long term. When did they switch sides?
We are in bizarro world. Wow. This is
Chris.
If you're feeling whiplash while you're driving to work,
there's a reason.
You're in good company.
There's a reason. We're getting several comments here this morning. Chris over on the text line in Waterloo, listening on WMDX, says they should take that $60 million and put it towards school lunches. Thank you for the comment.
John's comment from Oshkosh made me laugh. I don't know about no free money. I'm stuffing my mattress with my Soros checks. I still have not gotten any of my protest checks.
I've been
to protests. I don't get any checks.
I have not either. Alicia over on social media saying, hold on. I thought the rainy day fund was different from the surplus. Well, it was last week. Now it is not. So
you got to keep up, Alicia. We don't have time to go back. We got to keep up with what's happening right now.
Snap into it, people. Really, though... At this point, sometimes words are hard when I try to articulate my thoughts. Wisconsin.
Well, because the thing you're thinking about is changing while you're formulating your thought on it.
That too, and I have a lot of words that aren't FCC compliant running through my head, so I'm trying to not get us into any trouble.
No, let's get some big fines.
Wisconsin, though, really at the root of it, could see some sort of major experiment in early childhood savings if the GOP has their way. And I mean,
but as you said, the accounts that are already there, WisKids, and there's one, I know Illinois has one. A lot of states have these, and they're great. And therefore, either if you're to use for your child's education or trade school or something else, you don't have to go to college to use it. But people who, and I hate to say this, and I know everybody should be trying to save, but let's be honest, there's a lot of people who aren't in a position to make that savings.
Yes.
And so for those who can, these state programs are really, really good. And you know, you can't get the money. It's in there. It's safe. That's terrific.
Right.
Nest egg is a little strong as a term for the money you'll get when you're done. In this day and age, we go back to affordability. Even if you go to college, it's going to cost more. If you're trying to buy a house with that money, it's going to cost more. So it's not like you won the lottery when you hit 18. You'll have a chunk of money, and that's great. But it's not going to be enough to set you up for life.
Right. And you mentioned the WisKids initiative, which is what Democrats go back to as a sustainable program, because it's bipartisan for one. And it automatically deposits $25 into a 529 college savings account for kids at birth. And obviously, that is a much smaller program, much smaller amount of money that we're talking about. But it was designed to be permanent and also uses existing funds from the state's 529 budget. It's not some use of surplus money that, again, I'm going to reiterate the hypocrisy of it all, that last week we could not use on anything and needed to save in case something in the federal budget went wrong, and yet here we are today.
Thank goodness for the fiscally responsible Democrats who are trying to pump the brakes on this wild plan.
What world do we live in here where we're calling the Democrats, as, you know, not maybe socially known to be the fiscally responsible? Make sense.
I'm wondering if anybody is using one of these WisKids accounts. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. If you are, call or text us and let us know exactly how it works, if you're happy with the way it's going, and if maybe you've gotten to the point where your children have aged out and you were able to pull it out. How much did it help them when you were able to withdraw that money? We'd love to hear that, because sometimes theoretical explanations are great. I like to hear from boots on the ground, so to speak.
You know, and I'm sitting here looking at our text messages this morning, and I'm kind of with Chris, who texted in from Waterloo. He had mentioned, you know, the $60 million and put it towards school lunches. Mm-hmm. Think about what we could do in that state for our children and our families if we took that $60 million. And I understand that the Republicans are thinking this is a plan that will help families. Let's do something practical right now. Food in the bellies. How about health care? How about investing in our rural health care systems? How about more resources for our teachers into our school systems? I mean, the list could really go on and on with that $60 million could go to make life better today, right now.
And let's be honest, this only helps a very small fraction of the population. If you want to use money for kids, then you look at school lunch programs, you look at funding daycare centers, you look at those kind of things, education programs. But because if my kid's in kindergarten now, I don't get any of this. Even if my kid's 6 months old, I don't get, or a year old, I don't get any of this. So you're helping a very small fraction of the population, whereas if you want to go into that money, you can help a much wider swath of Wisconsinites and affect more people's lives than this little, hey, you get free money jazz. Give us something tangible that a lot of us can use, and we'll be much more grateful.
I mean, there are issues across the state, and to me, it would make more sense to come up with a realistic plan on a bipartisan level that does that from every community across the entire state, instead of what kind of looks like a pipe dream at this point. 7:48 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. It's the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
7:52 right now. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. This is Civic Media Mornings. My name is Jamie Martinson.
Hi, I'm Brian Noonan. We're glad you're here. Don't forget, if you're listening to the show and you're like it, tell your friends. We're still in a relatively new state, so any word of mouth is very helpful. Tell your friends. If you don't like the show, tell more of your friends and subject them to the same suffering that you're putting yourself through. Everybody is welcome, whether you enjoy it or not. I don't know why you'd be here if you didn't enjoy it. But listen, it's a big tent, as politics likes to say. It's a big tent here on Civic Media Mornings. Jamie, have you ever taken something on an air or tried to get something on an airplane just by accident? And I'm not saying you're, you know, a cartel member.
Yes, actually, I did. Yeah. One time I took my backpack through a TSA check and forgot to open the front pouch cleaning it out. Had some of the spray sunscreen in there, which you can imagine. Oh, I know.
Domestic terrorism.
I know. It got me flagged almost immediately. I felt horrible. The whole thing was rusty. It was pretty obvious it'd been in there a while, and I kind of forgot it was there. So they laughed and they took it out. But that's the only time I've gotten flagged. I like to be efficient when I get into a TSA line. I like to already have my shoes off. I have to have everything organized, mostly because I don't like the act of going through the line. So I just want to get it done as absolutely humanly possible. I know. We're working on our applications for that.
Is there trouble with your record?
No, we start it and then we stop and then we're like, really go to this appointment. And then all of a sudden,
anything that makes me feel like a VIP, I'm going to do. I'm going to take it. Back in like the 90s, remember when fanny packs were a big thing?
Oh, yeah.
Dominic, you've probably seen the picture of The Rock in the 90s with his fanny pack.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So everybody wore fanny packs. And as a fat guy, fanny packs were great because you didn't have to put you didn't have to try to jam things in your pocket.
Right.
It was all like in a pouch under your belly pouch. So everything was there. Well, when I was traveling, I had gone on a ride along with some Kansas City police officers, and they gave me a pocket knife that I carried everywhere. And I never really took it out. I took it out for a couple things. Like, it was a very handy tool. I can see now why people would carry a pocket knife until they're going through TSA.
Mm.
And this was even before how stringent things got. They're like, sir, what do you have in your fanny pack? I don't know, my wallet and stuff like that. What is this? Ah, oh, that's a knife, of course. That is Yeah, I didn't mean to bring that with me. That I apologize. That's what are you going to do with that knife? I don't know. Nothing, I guess. I'm sorry. That and the only one that's better, and it's not TSA, but it's security at a courthouse. I had gotten a speeding ticket when I was in college because to this day I like to drive fast. You know, that's I feel the need for speed.
Sure, sure.
So my mom had to go to court to take care of this ticket for me because I was back at school. So for some reason, my two youngest brothers were arguing in the car, and one of them had brought a steak knife from home.
Just a random steak knife.
To like stab the, I don't know. I wasn't in the car. I got yelled at. I got yelled at because my mom had to go to court. So she takes the knife from my brother in the car and puts it in her purse.
Well, of course. And, it's a logical mom place to put things.
Of course, until you're dragging your two screaming psychopath sons through the metal detector at the courthouse because your oldest son can't obey the rules of the road, and then all of a sudden they stop you because you're trying to bring a steak knife into the courthouse. So as you can imagine, my youngest brothers got in a lot of trouble, and then I took a verbal whipping because if you had driven the speed limit, I would have had to take
it to court. She was there only because of you. Yes.
Well, the reason we tell these amusing anecdotes is the TSA released their list of the top 10 most unusual items seized at airport security in 2025. Now, I thought this was going to be a fun list.
We've got some problems, America.
Yeah, this country is, man, I do, you know, listen, we're well-armed and well-drugged if we're going, if we're trying to fly. Some of these you could say, okay, that may be accidental or... You know, who hasn't been to the Dominican Republic and tried to bring an extra bottle of rum back, allegedly?
These are hidden weapons, and this is a crazy list.
Well, let's start with the top one, because this, I don't even know why you would need this. The number one spot appeared to be a replica pipe bomb that was found at Idaho's Boise International Airport in May.
Why would you have a replica pipe bomb? That's not even funny.
If you're
going to
get a pipe bomb, build a real pipe bomb.
Like, what are we doing?
Commit. Yeah.
Commit to the bit, as Frank tells us. Commit to the bit.
That's insanity. Now, here's the one, though, that really bothered me the most, because I can't imagine the discomfort of these travelers. Turtles in somebody's pants and another turtle in somebody's bra at the Newark Liberty International Airport and the two separate incidents, by the way, because another one happened at the Miami International Airport. Who stuffs a turtle in their pants and in their bra?
I've seen other stories about this, people trying to bring in exotic animals. They put them in their shirts or in their hoodies, or they tape them to their bodies. And
for
you
this
know,
stupidity,
is that
I
an
hope
anaconda
were...
in your pants, or are you just happy to see me? No, it's actually an anaconda. I'm bringing it back.
For this stupidity, I hope they were snapping turtles and they bit in the right spots. I mean, seriously.
You've got some drugs. Everybody tried to have drugs. This was weird, though. Somebody found a knife in a car seat. Oh, like a baby car seat.
Yes.
When your infant is strapped at the airport, that's rough. That's a rough kid.
Yeah, yeah.
I like the cut of his jib.
Can you imagine? Let's just tuck it down there in the side. Little Johnny will be fine. Yeah. He won't touch that. Babies don't do anything. What are we doing?
Babies never touch knives.
Oh,
all right. Well,
my
goodness. But one more good thing. Let's end on a high note.
Yeah, yes, let's.
If you are a fan of one of the oldest breweries in the nation, Yuengling, which has been... opened since 1829 from Pottsville, Pennsylvania, is now available in Wisconsin. Yuengling you could only get in the East Coast. Now it's here. Draft beer is all across Wisconsin. Packaged beer starting March 2nd. So there's a little good news
for
beer drinkers.
There you go, beer drinkers, connoisseurs, as you would say, 7:59 right now. Thank you for joining us on Civic Media Mornings. Hopefully you have a great day. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Thanks for listening this morning. We will talk to you again tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow is Friday, folks. Thank goodness.
We made it.
We will join you then. Have a great rest of your day. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.